Tuesday, August 19th, 2014. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, today we're going to be starting a three-part series on how you can get back to school with your selling skills. And not only are we going to talk about how you can kind of, quote-unquote, get back to school. I know this time of year, a lot of the kids getting back to school, my kids going back to college. But we're going to talk about how you could accelerate the process. Now, first, before we get down to business, we got to pay the bills. And I want to let you know that today's episode of our podcast is sponsored by our new online course, How to Hunt More Effectively. So, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and check it out right now. Hey everyone, it's Paul Castain, and I'm here to tell you about a brand new online program we have launching on September 17th. Now, the cool thing about this program is that it is dedicated like 100% to help you bring in new clients, and it's going to tell you how to hunt differently. Let me take you through some of the things that you could expect. I mean, we're going to come right out of the gate in this program and share 10 ideas on how to help you hunt differently. Then from there, we're going to show you how to use things like email and like change up your subject lines and how to get better response rates. We're going to talk about snail mail, how to use snail mail, you know, like old-fashioned, like mailing things without having to have deep pockets and do these massive direct mail campaigns. Social networking, you guys have to know that I'm passionate about this. So we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to show you how to listen for clues and how to move these relationships off of your computer screen into more meetings and certainly more business. I think it's very important, too, that we learn how to network better. I'm going to show you how to get better conversations going without it getting weird. You know, it can be kind of awkward sometimes introducing yourself to strangers. I'm going to show you how to do this in a way that's very conversational, not salesy, and some mistakes that you're going to need to avoid too. I think referrals, very, very important. We're going to be talking about when to ask for them, how to ask for them, and speaking of how to ask for them, I'm going to show you a way that can very easily double and triple the amount of referrals that you're getting. You're welcome for that, by the way. We're also going to talk about how to use creativity to get more business, like creative door openers. Very, very important. I still think that we need to have a conversation about the phone, how to use the phone, but marry it in with all these other things that I've been telling you about. Very, very important. And then finally, in the final session, there's going to be 9 of these online sessions. We're going to show you a way, how actually a very cool technique called mixing and mapping, where we kind of map out a communication plan. And then I'm also going to share some real-world experiences with you, particularly how I used communication mapping to grow Castain Training System. And that's the deal, folks. So if this sounds like something you might be interested in, I want you to stop by yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore for all the juicy details. One more time, yoursalesplaybook.com/sellmore. I hope to see you guys there. All right, gang. So the game plan for today is we're going to talk about how we can get back to school with our selling skills. This is part one of a three-part series. And today, if you don't mind, I think it's time to get down to business. We're going to be talking about mindset. And we're going to be talking about some things with your attitude, some things that I think get in the way of learning, some traps that you're going to need to certainly avoid. We're also going to talk about some different attitudes that I think you need to embrace that are going to help fast forward this process. And I'm going to share a few stories about some things I've learned along the way, both in some things that I've seen in some other people who are just absolute sales rock stars, and give you some specific examples and tell you some, maybe share a few stories from my journey. So if you don't mind, let's talk a little bit about this mindset. The first component of a proper learning mindset is I believe that we have to kind of have that can-do attitude. Now, you've heard that before, but let me elaborate. I think many times what happens is that our ego gets in the way. And I think, you know, if you look at our profession, we have the most egotistical profession on the planet. And part of that is a necessary evil because we need that ego in a way. It serves as body armor, all the rejection that we face in times where we just have to be just really, really, super cautious about what we're saying. Sometimes ego comes in there and kind of, you know, builds us up a little bit, makes us feel good. So we kind of have to have that, but it also gets in the way of learning and the lessons that we can certainly gather on our journey. Now, I want to share a quick story with you. It happened, I'm guessing it was about 7 years ago, in a classroom where the average participant was about 24 years old. It was when I worked for this big $1 billion-a-year printing company. And there was this one guy in the classroom that stood out, head and shoulders above the rest. And this guy was taking notes like feverishly. I mean, like he could not write fast enough. Anytime I would ask a question, he was getting involved, fully engaged. Whenever I do training, I do a lot of like little breakout groups where I'll put a question or a problem for a group to solve. This guy was very animated in the groups and again, taking notes and learning from people who were quite younger than him. I mean, if the average person in the room, just so you know, was about 24, this guy was about 50. Or he might have been in his early 50s at this point. So almost 30 years their senior. But there was one little catch here. You might not be thinking that this is such a big deal or such a great story. You might be thinking, well, okay, so what he's doing is he's kind of going at the angle of here's this guy, a much older guy, and he's learning more than the others. No, not at all. It's very important that you know who this guy was. Now, this person, again, who is not only 30 years their senior, had been in the printing industry for 30 years. And this was a printing company again. And so he knew a lot of the tricks already. And not only that, but this guy had consistently sold about $7 or $8 million a year, every year, for years. He's one of the people that I studied when I spearheaded a best practices study for this company. And so he was consistent top performer, always going to our sales conferences as one of the top producers, an award winner, multiple award winner. I mean, this guy had it all. And here he is taking notes, but there's one other little catch. This person was in the class that day because he was actually our featured speaker and he wasn't going on until later. He got there about 6 hours early, not because he had nothing to do, but because he wanted an opportunity to learn. Now, I wish it was because I was that interesting. It wasn't. It was because he was that interested in learning. So my thought is this, is that many times we have a lot of old dogs out there in sales. I think we have to embrace this guy's attitude. He went at it like, you know, he was the humble student. I think that's very, very important. And, you know, I think that kind of leads us to a trap that a lot of people fall into. I think many times we think that we know it all. And we think that because of the years that we have in sales or the years in life, school of hard knocks, that there's nothing else to learn in a way. And maybe it's beneath us. And I really think some of the smartest people I've met and the most successful people that I've met, they go through life as the humble student. And that's certainly something that I've really been trying to embrace. And it's really been serving me well. And one of the other traps I think many times that we come across that's very similar is that we come across something, and I call it the sales 101 trap. And we come across something and we're like, yeah, of course, that's sales 101. Everybody knows that. That's basic, you know, Captain Obvious time here. And yet, we're not doing these things that we're flagging as basic and sales 101. So just a quick little bit of advice that I have for you, and I've been saying this one forever on this podcast and on my blog, is that when you come across something and you say, yeah, I know that, and you're ready to dismiss it, just a real quick reality check is in order. And you need to ask yourself, well, do I know that and I'm actually doing this? Or do I know this and maybe I need to shut up and stop telling the world what I know and actually get my arms around this and start doing this? See, just because you did something 5 years ago, 10 years ago, at the beginning of your career, doesn't mean that, you know, you're still doing it now. So I want you to think about that. So that's the first thing. And you know what? One more in there. Don't forget, I mean, we can learn from everyone. And I think one of the best lessons that I learned in sales came from someone who was not in sales, and he did not have above, I didn't think he had above a sixth grade education. It was a server on a cruise ship. This guy was awesome, man. This guy knew a thing or two about wowing his guests. He knew a thing or two about proper follow-up. He knew a thing or two about asking good questions and getting used to, like, really the things that we liked and you know, like how we liked our drinks and all this other stuff. So you could definitely learn from everyone. Now, if I had gone on there and said, yeah, what the heck am I going to learn from some dude serving food on a cruise ship who didn't graduate, you know, or didn't go beyond the sixth grade? I mean, that really could have gotten in the way of a lesson. So I think, again, humble student and this attitude that we can learn from everyone. The other thing, too, that you want to think about is the next component is a will-do attitude. Just because I can do something doesn't mean that I'm going to do it. And this is where the excuses come in. And one of the excuses I just gave you, it's that sales 101 trap. I think it's a lot easier and safer to tell everybody we know something than I know to do that and I don't have the balls to try it. Right? There's that ego again playing into it. But this is where the excuses play in. So one of the big excuses that we hear when it comes time to learning and training and getting smarter is, well, I don't have the time. And to me, that is one of the most asinine things that you could possibly say when it comes to your development. I mean, seriously, I mean, how would you respond if I said, you know, I would breathe today, but I just don't have the time, right? I mean, it's just really not the brightest thing for you to say. And I think it's a horrible excuse. And if you want to get serious about this, I have to tell you that there is never going to be a day when you wake up in the morning and you say, what a glorious day to learn. What a glorious day to train. You are not going to have that. You are never going to look at your calendar and go, at last, I have this hole in the schedule where I can train and learn and get smarter. It just doesn't happen that way. Life just has an endless supply of things to keep you away from the things that make you uncomfortable. And you can't ever forget that. Your brain is always going to seek out avoidance activities for you. And when it comes to learning, that might be an area. Now, this thing about no time, I mean, you know, the other thing that you have to look at is that there are spots in your schedule where there are opportunities. And I want you to start looking at it differently. One thing I've shared many times that I'm just really impressed with, there was a study that was done by the University of Southern California. And they found that if you're in your car and you drive about 300 miles a week at the end of, during those 300 miles each week, that you're listening to instructional types of CDs and things like that, at the end of 3 years, you will have gained the equivalent of a 2-year degree in the knowledge that you've obtained during that time. So, you know, maybe there's an opportunity for those of you who are on planes. I mean, think about it. In sales, we're always traveling. So why not use that time? You should be subscribing to something like Audible. It's like about $15 a month. I mean, seriously, I don't want to beat you up. I can't imagine that you can't afford $15. I mean, seriously, you probably piss more than that away on stupid stuff. But $15, you could do that. I mean, there's things that you could even download for, like, how about this podcast? I'm not charging you for it. I mean, download it, man, and take it with you. University on Wheels type of stuff here. Automobile University. The other thing, too, sorry to say this, but God forbid maybe you get up a little earlier. Or maybe you eliminate some of the dumb stuff, like maybe all that TV or whatever. But I think if you are not committed to something, you're going to have an endless supply of excuses. If you are committed to it, you need to find a way. You need to look at it and get this stuff on the schedule. And that brings us to, actually, there's another excuse, too, that comes in. And many times it's, well, I don't have the money to learn, or I don't have the money to train. Now, needless to say, there's a whole portion of this discussion we could have about all the free things. I mean, on my blog alone, there are 1,100 blog posts, absolutely free. Right now, we have 304 of these podcasts. Those are free audio lessons. But I want to have a conversation beyond that. And not just because I sell this stuff for a living, but because we have to have a serious heart-to-heart. You are not going to get any smarter by being cheap. And what happens is, and by the way, that's not an accident that I'm saying that. by being cheap. That was very intentional. I want to piss you off with that statement. And here's my definition of being cheap. When you say, not necessarily to me, this isn't what you're telling me. Don't worry about hurting my feelings. I'm doing okay with Castain Training Systems. But this is people in general. If you're going to sit and say you don't have the money for something, and yet you're supporting, what, a $4 or a $5 a day Starbucks habits, how many times a week are you going out to lunch? And think about all the other things that you piss money away on. I mean, I was having a conversation the other day. I'm a cigar smoker, and I don't even want to acknowledge to you guys like how much I spend every month on cigars. And I was talking to this other guy who's about $100 a month, and the guy's doing okay for himself, a business owner and stuff, and he wasn't, you know, blowing me off with my training. I never pitch my friends. I mean, it's kind of a way not to have any friends. But we were just talking about something in general, and he was saying I didn't have the money for it. And I said to him, hey, you know, I'm not, I don't want to be a dick here, but, you know, I mean, you spend $100 a month on cigars, man. Would it kill you to, like, you know, pull back a little bit? In fact, it'd probably keep from killing you if you pull back, right? And this is a guy who's talking about, like, you guys have to see me on Facebook, right? I'm always posting a picture of the cigar I'm smoking and, you know, rewarding myself with some really good cigars and stuff like that. So, I mean, sometimes we throw out these excuses because they're handy. And you almost want to say to yourself, I could not possibly believe this. So, you know, the thing about money, and we're going to talk about the thing about time too, is that I think you have to stop looking at it like I'm spending time on this. Change your thinking to I am investing time. I am worth the time that I am investing to get smarter. You are worth the time you are investing right now to listen to this podcast to get smarter. You are worth the money that you invest in yourself. And here is where I really want to challenge you. I am telling you, as somebody who loves free things, nobody in this world loves free things more than me. Dead serious here. I've owned my business for 3.5 years now, and I love to run it very, very lean. My accountant loves me for how lean I run this business. But I am telling you, when it comes to my development, when I embrace all those free things out there, and when I embrace things, it could be something as little as $15 for a book on Amazon or on Audible. It could be seriously. I mean, I don't know. This is kind of tacky to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Over the last 3.5 years that I've owned my business, I've probably spent well over $70,000 in coaching for myself and in programs that I've gone through and events and so on and so forth. It doesn't matter. I will tell you that I always take the stuff that I pay for more seriously. And I'll give you a quick example. I mean, hey, prove me wrong on this, but I bet a lot of you guys, you listen to this stuff, you consume it. Maybe I give you a nice rah-rah. I'm riding shotgun with you in your car right now. Everything's feeling good. And then what happens is, and I'm not making fun of you, I'm not trying to put you down and make you feel bad, you don't do anything with the stuff. But when you're parting with your cash, it's a whole different thing. I always execute on that stuff because I'm cheap and I don't want to waste my money. The last thing that I want to say to you is that you really have to be careful of the message you're sending your brain. The brain sees things and absorbs it and kind of runs with things in the background that we're not even aware of, kind of at the subconscious level. If you are continually going through life and you are not willing to invest in yourself, but yet you invest in your 401k and the stock market and all kinds of other things, you are basically telling your brain that you are not worthy of an investment, that, you know, and don't take this the wrong way. You're kind of telling your brain, well, I'm worthless. I'm not worth putting that money into to develop. So you got to be very, very careful of it. Want to be very clear here. Nobody's also more sensitive than I am when it comes to not having money. If you're truly struggling, I get it. Just stay all over the free stuff that's out there. But if you're a person that really, when you look at your finances, man, that like $15 a month or, you know, a $500 course or something like that, it's not going to break the bank. Maybe it might be time to change your priorities a little bit. So enough of that lecture. You know, the other thing too is you have to have an attitude of must do. So you have to have the urgency to learn as if your career depended on it, because your career does depend on it. I think before we said you have to get things on the schedule, but then you have to respect that schedule. Don't ever put something on your schedule for yourself and then break that appointment. But yet you keep every appointment with everybody in the world, including the jerks that you have to deal with. So in other words, a jerk gets more respect than you. Never. Nobody, even the nicest people you know, should ever have a higher priority than yourself. You are the surest investment on the planet, and you need to start operating that way. That doesn't mean that you give everybody else the finger when it comes to your time. It means that when you say, damn it, 7:30 tomorrow morning to 8, I'm going to be listening to Castain's podcast, or I'm going to be, you know, listening to that audio book, or I'm going to be doing some reading or whatever it is. Well, then you have to stick to that schedule. Don't let something else pull you away from it unless it is truly an emergency. So you definitely want to look at that. And then I think you also have to look at the things you want in your life. And last week I was talking about how it's really like a vision board. I have pictures of all these things that I want to have in my life, between the money that I want to make, between a cruise that I want to take next year on my 50th birthday, all these different things. You have to look at these things that you want in your life, and you have to look at them as if, you know, in order for me to get them, I have to continually stay sharp. I have to continually learn and hone my craft. Look at it that way, with that degree of urgency. The key word here is urgency. And that brings us to a few points of vulnerability. 3 points of vulnerability as part of your mindset. First of all, you have to be willing to ask for help. Again, the ego will keep us from doing that. We think somehow, especially when it's another sales rep, and especially on our own team, when somebody's getting a better result than we are, and God forbid we ask them for advice, or how did they do it, or what's their secret, that we're submitting to them somehow. And we're just basically saying, I suck and you rock. And that's not the case at all. We're basically saying, hey, I'm strong enough, and my ego is strong enough to know that I don't know everything. And you certainly seem to know more than I do in this area. Teach me. Let me be the humble student. And the story I always like to tell that made just a huge impact on my progress as a sales professional is several years ago, I was working for this company that was doing franchising of building services. And I went down to a convention one year, and we're all having a beer after all the meetings and stuff. And a few of the sales reps, again, kind of in a real snooty type of way, and I've seen this with sales reps, their ego was getting the best. And they were like, look at that guy. Can you believe that? That, as if it was like an animal or, you know, some kind of an it. That's our number one sales rep. And the guy had a few extra pounds on him and a little disheveled. And, you know, I mean, they were like, look, can you believe? 2 years in a row, by the way. Next thing you know, your good old Uncle Paul is walking away from the crowd, heading on over to the guy. They're like, where are you going? I was like, he was number two years in a row, man. I don't see anybody hanging out with him. I'm buying this guy a beer for the price, you know, for the cost of a beer, and me losing my ego. I bet you I can learn some great stuff today. And it was awesome, man. This guy taught me some things free actually, it was 2 beers. Like, that's going to break the bank, right? Back then, I mean, I think I found a way to expense it. But I think the statute of limitations is up on that. So I think I'm okay with that. But I mean, we've got to lose that ego. So you have to be vulnerable enough and understand that our ego keeps us from unpleasant things. It keeps us from things that make us uncomfortable. You have to be willing to lose the ego, and also too, play to other people's egos. I mean, if you think about it, sales reps, I mean, who do you think they want to talk about? I mean, a lot of us, we want to talk about ourselves. So once you lose your ego, play to their ego, and I guarantee you, you could walk out with some very, like, seriously awesome types of lessons. The other part where you want to be vulnerable is you want to look in the mirror and do an honest assessment of your skills. Kind of look at, all right, what do I need in this next quarter? Like, if I were to bring in like a toolbox, what tools in the form of skills do I really need to have? And just give an honest assessment of yourself. Again, tell the ego to go wait in the car. Look at yourself like you would in the mirror, but not like the department store mirror that takes 20 pounds off of you and makes you look great. Like, I'm talking about like that, the one that we hate, like in the hotel room where like I look in it and I go, Dad. You know what I mean? So that's the one that I'm talking about. So if you guys want something free and somewhat kind of cool, I would recommend you email me, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com, and I'm going to send you a free little PDF that'll give you a little checklist of selling skills that you should kind of rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10, and then maybe you can pick your top 2 or 3 that are actually your lowest, where you scored the lowest, and kind of work on those things. But you got to be willing to look in the mirror. The other part of vulnerability is you need to ask others. Make yourself vulnerable enough to ask others where they think you could have done better. So let me give you a few opportunities right there. Number one, your boss. Ask, you should be asking what you could do better. If you guys do ride-alongs together and your boss goes with you on appointments, ask your boss afterwards, what could I have done better? I think you also, when you don't get a sale, have the balls to ask people why. I think also, too, you should ask your customers why they're buying from you. And, you know, acknowledge, hey, I know you have choices. Why do you continually buy from us? So I can learn and I could talk to others about these areas. What is it about us? Or what is it about me that keeps you coming back every single month? And then the other part of this is, you've heard me talk about this, I call it, and this isn't my term here, it's called a stop, start, continue conversation. Simply ask people about the things that maybe you should stop doing. Lose your ego. Again, you can't sit there and ask somebody the questions, oh, what do you mean, and get all defensive. You're basically conditioning people to shut down on you in the future. You want that transparency and that honesty from them. And the only way you get it is by making yourself vulnerable. And then certainly ask them about things that maybe you're not doing that they would love to see you start doing. And then last but not least, what are some things that you feel I'm doing very, very well in this relationship that you want me to make a note to self to continue doing? So start, continue. And there you have it, folks. I mean, there's several ways for you to get a better mindset so you can get back to school and outwork your competitors. We have two more parts to go on this, and you're going to see that this isn't all, obviously, about things you should be thinking about in your attitude. There's a lot of action steps that I want to share with you, and we're going to be covering those in the weeks ahead. And as a quick update, I just want to let you know, when I started doing this podcast again a few weeks ago, I mentioned we're going to be changing the format. And one of the things I put out there is that I want to start interviewing some people that are actually in the trenches. We had a lot of people submit ideas and people wanted to be interviewed. Sadly, about 90 to 95% of them are other bloggers, other sales trainers, exactly what I asked not to have happen. But we were able to kind of look into a few. Some interviews are going to be starting shortly. So my hope, and you know, it's not going to be a promise, but my game plan is by the time we get done with this three-part series, I should probably have, or at least be within a week or two out from the very first interview for you guys. So you're going to see a change in format for about 1 to 2 episodes a month, but in the beginning, probably for about 1 until we gain a little bit of steam. It's going to be a nice little learning curve for me because I've never done that, right? That's part of learning too, right? Being kind of ballsy enough to take some chances and get outside the comfort zone. So with that, folks, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.